Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, September 22nd. Coming up on today's show, we chat with Emily Austin, a parent who is one of the many people in Sackville experiencing excessive wait times for COVID-19 testing and results. Austin recently waited 7 days for test results for her kids, and she's concerned that testing delays like that are incentivizing people not to keep their kids home when they're sick. And new rules came into effect this morning in New Brunswick. The indoor mask mandate is back, requiring community masks in all indoor public spaces. And also, the province's new vaccine passport system kicks into action today, requiring people to show ID and proof of vaccination when entering restaurants, gyms, and other businesses that are deemed non-essential. We talk with Al Barber of the Black Duck to find out how the policy will roll out at the popular cafe. But first, some other local news and information. The Drew Nursing Home in Sackville now has 22 cases of COVID-19, according to a letter sent to families on Tuesday evening. 16 residents and 6 employees have tested positive for COVID-19 as of results processed by Tuesday. But according to public health, the home is not experiencing an outbreak. At a Monday news conference, Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell confirmed that an outbreak had not been declared at the Drew, but said that testing would continue in the home. The letter to families from Executive Director Linda Shannon says a new round of testing for all residents and staff will take place on Friday, and that will continue twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays until the outbreak is over. Shannon also said staff from other homes, as well as retired employees, have been on site to assist the Drew. The province reported 65 new cases on Tuesday and another person in hospital for a total of 24 people in hospital with COVID-19 in the province. 15 of those people are in an intensive care unit. The province says no one under the age of 19 is currently in hospital. There are now 509 active cases of COVID-19 in the province, with 131 of them in Zone 1. 11 of Tuesday's new cases were in Zone 1. None of those cases were in people 19 or under. 7 of the new Zone 1 cases are under investigation. As of Tuesday, Public Health lists over 500 cases as under investigation on its COVID-19 dashboard. Both Mount Allison University and the town of Sackville will be recognizing a new federal statutory holiday next week. September 30th, widely known as Orange Shirt Day, has been named the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation and declared a federal statutory holiday, meaning all federally regulated public and private employees will get the day off. Provinces are taking different positions on the holiday, with Nova Scotia adopting it and New Brunswick not. At a council meeting on September 13th, Mayor Sean Michaud stated the town's position.
For the first time, National Day of Truth and Reconciliation will be officially recognized on Thursday, September 30th. This is a designated day to recognize and commemorate the legacy of residential schools and increase awareness around this terrible piece of Canada's history as we continue to the path towards reconciliation. The town of Sackville will recognize the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation as a statutory paid holiday and will provide an opportunity for employees to observe and participate in this important day. Flags at town facilities will also be lowered to half mast for the day.
Michaud also thanked Fort Folly First Nation Chief Rebecca Knockwood, who gifted a flag for the town to fly on TRC Day, September 30th. The town's collective agreement recognizes federal holidays, so Sackville is obligated to grant the holiday to staff, despite the province of New Brunswick not recognizing it. And CAO Jamie Burke says that if the town were not obligated by its collective agreement with workers, staff would have approached council to discuss implementing a motion to recognize the day. The town is collaborating with the Indigenous Affairs Office at Mount Allison University to sponsor a presentation of the film We Were Children this Sunday, September 26th at the Vogue Cinema. We Were Children looks at the profound impact of the Canadian government's residential school system as conveyed through the eyes of two children who were forced to face hardships beyond their years. The film can be disturbing and is not recommended for children. The town says support people will be available should someone need them. The film is part of Truth and Reconciliation Week at Mount Allison. The Indigenous Affairs Office at the school is offering sweat lodges and has invited Mi'kmaq ceremonial elder William Nevin of Elsabuktuk First Nation to speak as part of the president's speaker series on Wednesday, September 29th. That event is at Convocation Hall and open to the public. When Emily Austin woke up to cold symptoms in her two young children last Monday, she didn't expect she would be working from home for the week, but that's what happened. I called her up Monday to hear about her experience.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Thanks for speaking with us about this.
Well, thanks very much for the invitation.
So I guess, can you describe, I mean, I've heard several stories about people having a hard time getting testing in a timely manner. So maybe you can sort of walk us through your experience.
Sure. Yeah. Last week, I woke up a little bit sick and my kids were both under the weather. They're two preschool age kids. They had a cough and runny nose. So that was Monday morning of last week. We didn't send them to daycare because the rules are two symptoms mean you stay home from daycare. And so between 8:30 and 9 a.m. That morning, I used the online system to request tests for the three of us. I didn't get the call to book the test until Wednesday afternoon. I couldn't get the test until Thursday morning, and we didn't get the results from the test until Sunday morning. So that meant between my husband and I, we missed a full week of work for two kids with mild colds. And, you know, one of the kids was better by Tuesday afternoon. He could have, in the non-pandemic world, I would have sent him back to daycare because he was asymptomatic by Tuesday afternoon. So it was just a complicated week for us.
Mm-hmm. And did you manage to get assessed in Sackville at a clinic here, or did you have to go to Moncton?
We ended up requesting Moncton with the online system because back in August, when the kids had colds and couldn't go to daycare, we requested Sackville, but had a similar delay in August. And at that time, we learned that the Sackville clinic was only open a few days a week, and that was the cause of the delay. And so public health advised us that, well, next time you might want to try Moncton instead because they're open more days. So that's what we did, but then we had this large delay again.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess you have a two-parent family, so you did manage to make it through, but do you think that this sort of thing is concerning and maybe like impossible to handle for other families?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, my husband and I are very lucky. We are a two-parent family and we have the sort of job that at least on paper you can do at home. And so we get paid, right? I really don't have anything to complain about on that front. Although I will say it is exceedingly difficult to accomplish work at home with two young kids there with you, especially when they're not sick anymore. And so we were staying up till, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. trying to get our work done. But a family that doesn't have that lucky position, right, that you can do your work at home, it would be so hard to follow the rules and stay home when you're waiting for a test. And you don't even have the test booked yet, right? You don't even know what the horizon is and how long it's going to be. I can't imagine how difficult it would be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, what would you, how would it work for you, do you think? And how would it work for families, especially with kids?
Yeah, I understand the rationale behind the rule that kids with two symptoms need to stay home, right? We do have COVID in Sackville, and I think it's important that rule is followed. But I think it would be a huge help to families if we could have at-home testing in this province. Particularly when we reached the point where the kids were starting to be asymptomatic, it would be nice to be able to test them at home, get it done, see the results, and if they're asymptomatic with a negative test, send them back to daycare. I think it would reduce pressure on the symptom or on the system where they're trying to test people who are symptomatic or who've had close contact with a COVID case, and so it would reduce the wait list on that front, and it would be so much easier on working parents who have to halt work, essentially, to do childcare for kids who aren't even sick anymore. That's the solution that I see to make this manageable. Because right now we have a nursing shortage in the province, and there's clearly a lot of pressure on the test facilities on top of the nursing shortage. And there's just too much of an incentive for people to not keep their kids home when they're sick with this current delay. You know, as I say, we're in a position that we can and we will, but it's hard. And anything that can make it a little bit easier and make that delay a little less for everyone, I think would be helpful for managing this pandemic in this province.
Emily Austin says that in addition to at-home rapid testing, she'd like to see the registration system for testing give people more information about their quickest path to test results.
If we could go on the online system and see what the delays were in different places, or request any facility you're willing to drive through or drive to so that you could get the first available test. I don't know. Something has to give somewhere. Because it's so hard when you're just sitting and you don't know if maybe something went wrong. Maybe you entered the wrong phone number in the system. There's no way to really find out.
That's Emily Austin of Sackville. Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell said Monday that some assessment staff has been reassigned after the third wave in New Brunswick, when demand for testing was low. Russell indicated that what people are experiencing now is a lag in ramping up resources as the demand grows in the fourth wave.
So we meet every day practically with our partners around the assessment centers and the resources and the time that's necessary to be able to get everybody tested and get those results back as quickly as possible. So with the surge in demand, again, there's always a lag between the time when we can ramp that up. So that is happening. I think right now all we are needing from people is to be patient. It is challenging, and I know Zone 1 is probably experiencing the biggest uptick in demand at this time. So we are doing our best. The RHAs are doing their best, and Again, I understand that it's frustrating and challenging, and we'll just keep on keeping on and improving that situation.
That's Dr. Jennifer Russell speaking on Monday. Emily Austin's idea of using at-home rapid testing to allow asymptomatic people to more quickly rule out COVID-19 might not be far-fetched. Though rapid tests have not been used in New Brunswick nearly as much as in other provinces, they are being used in certain situations. The province has made rapid, or point-of-care tests, as they're sometimes called, available to businesses or institutions who request them. Mount Allison University will be using them to regularly test any students, staff, or faculty who are unable to get vaccinated. And the Greater Moncton Chamber of Commerce is distributing them to local area businesses who request them. At least one local business, the Black Duck Cafe, has taken advantage. I dropped in to talk to co-owner Al Barber at his new neighboring business, Quality Grocery.
Yeah, so the Chamber of Commerce distributed COVID rapid tests to businesses. And we have like a couple of boxes of COVID tests, and they take about 15 minutes. And, you know, they're not as accurate as the lab tests, obviously, but they are helpful if, you know, especially during allergy season. Also in Sackville, we had a cold, unfortunately, like going through town a couple weeks ago, which has very similar symptoms. So we are able to test our employees to make sure that they're fine. And we had all negatives, but we actually have sent people after getting tested to also go get a lab test in order to sort of make sure that everything was going good.
Barber says that all businesses can request test kits through the Chamber of Commerce, not just members. The Black Duck has been using the kits for 3 to 4 weeks, and Barber expects the frequency of use to go up now that there are reported cases in Sackville. I actually stopped in to visit Al Barber to talk about another COVID response issue. New Brunswick's new vaccine passport system came into effect today, meaning that people are now required to be fully vaccinated before entering non-essential services like cafes, bars, restaurants, gyms, and cinemas. Indoor concerts, sports events, and organized gatherings like weddings and funerals will have the same stipulation. Churches and faith-based groups are exempt from the rules, instead being required to prove that they have surveyed their members and achieved a 90% vaccination rate among them. Places like the Black Duck are being asked to actively screen their customers and require a government-issued ID and a proof of vaccination. I visited Black Duck co-owner Al Barber yesterday to find out how that business is planning to cope with the new rules. So Al, new rules in place, vaccine passport system for New Brunswick, which will be implemented sort of on-site in restaurants and cafes, like very much like yours. So what have you been doing to prepare for this?
Well, we haven't, this has been a very short notice. And in order to prepare, we've been trying to figure out what our obligations are, which are very unclear at this point.
Okay.
you're having trouble getting communication from the New Brunswick government about what exactly you need to be doing on Wednesday?
There has been no more public information put out by the government since the news conference last Wednesday.
So what are the big questions that you have?
Well, the questions that we have are really quite simple, and that is, what are we expected to be checking? It's one thing to say we should be checking for people's that they're fully vaccinated, but how do we do that? How do I train my staff as to what an acceptable proof of vaccine is? When they made this announcement last Wednesday, the rule is based on the assumption that everyone who would want to use a restaurant or a gym or any other facility that comes under this rubric would be from New Brunswick and have been vaccinated in New Brunswick. In a university town like Sackville, we have a lot of international students. There's also several ways a person could have been vaccinated in New Brunswick. Therefore, they would have different vaccine proof of vaccines, which would look different. If someone was from a different province or a different country, they would also have a vaccine proof that would look different. And I don't even, like, I know what mine looks like, but I have no idea what everyone else's look like, and there's no information as to what we should be looking for.
Yeah, I guess when it was announced, it sounded almost as simple as IDing someone at a bar to make sure they're of age, but because we don't have standardized vaccination records, I guess this is the problem that you're saying.
We don't even have standardized vaccinations, so the question, and I did have a conversation with someone from the Business Navigator, which is there's no real information on the government's website except for there is a poster that you can download to put on your door that says you have to show proof of vaccination, and then there's a phone number for the Business Navigator. Talked to someone who was very nice over at Business Navigator who answered some of my questions, but very simple questions like which vaccines are like eligible? Like, are all, like, is any vaccine like qualify you? Here in New Brunswick, we need two shots, but some countries just had one shot. You have to ask, like, if someone is from outside of the country, like, does Sinovac count? Does Sputnik count? Like, there's a lot of different vaccinations, and we've been given no information as to which ones count. Now, after my conversation with the person at the Business Navigator yesterday, I was told that all vaccinations count. And I was told that if a vaccine passport is shown to me and it's in a foreign language, to just accept it. Also, that the dates on the vaccination passport or the vaccination record don't matter. So if someone was vaccinated 2 days ago, they can still come in the restaurant. I also asked if, like, my vaccination record is an 8x10 piece of paper, and if I take a photo of that, I can show a photo. But if I show you a photo of my vaccination record on my phone, like, you can't see any information on that unless I asked you for your phone and scroll around. I was told that none of that information matters. So basically, we're in a carrot and a stick situation where, in order to goad people into getting their first or second vaccinations, the government is using restaurants as the carrot and other public places. They're saying we really have to do this. It's very challenging for us to do it. If anyone's followed any news whatsoever in the last while, you know it's impossible to hire staff in restaurants, let alone hiring someone to stand at the door and act as a bouncer. And it's also really hard after being closed for a year and having all these rules foisted upon us to be able to afford to hire an extra person, to basically just go through the motions of pretending to check that someone is vaccinated when we're not really being asked to really vet it. We're just being asked to go through the motions. Hugely disappointing. I want COVID to be over. I want my staff and my customers to be safe. But I think it would be really great to do it in a way that makes sense, that's just not vaccine theater.
The province of New Brunswick says that people can use a number of different ways to prove their vaccination status. People can show their MyHealthNB record, a paper copy or photo of their immunization record from an RHA clinic, pharmacy, or public health, proof of vaccination from another jurisdiction, or a medical exemption certificate. There is no standard, so it seems that staff will need to use their discretion as to what qualifies, and the proof must also come alongside a government-issued ID. So far, information published by the provincial government does not include examples of acceptable records or certificates, and as far as Barbara is concerned, leaves a lot of gaps in how the process will roll out.
There's a whole bunch of unanswered questions, and when you're trying to build a program around this, it's really impossible unless you have some direction, any direction. There's no direction. The issue is there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. There was a news conference where this big idea was put forward. There's a promise that in a couple of weeks or months, there will be a QR code thing, which involves us probably having to purchase some equipment. But other than that, it's crickets. It's like, I have no idea what I'm really supposed to do. My staff have no idea what they're supposed to look for. I have no idea if this is going to turn people away from our business. I have no idea how to navigate this whatsoever. And I'm just, we don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what we're doing.
That's Al Barber, co-owner of the Black Duck Cafe on Bridge Street in Sackville. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour report for this Wednesday, September 22nd. As always, we hope that you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.